Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Valerie Parker. I'm a businesswoman, author, and speaker. I've written 4 books. The first, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. And secondly, Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future. Third, Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversity. And the fourth, which is a PDF that you can download, is Unlimited Possibilities, A Roadmap to Recovery. I have with me my co-host, Shirley Carter. Shirley, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everyone. I am an entrepreneur as well as a motivational speaker myself. Thank you for joining us.
It is exciting, and it was so great to see you this past weekend, Shirley, in Washington, D.C.
Yes, it was a wonderful weekend. It was a lifetime experience. You know, we've done a lot of things together in the past, but this was something special for us, being in D.C. and spending that time together.
Yes, we were there doing the Fight for Your Dreams tour with some of Les Brown's platinum speakers. And on Saturday, we had the opportunity to go and tour the D.C. area. But one of the most fascinating things to me was visiting the Martin Luther King Memorial. And one of the quotations that was along the wall, he had several quotes there, and one that moved me to tears when I looked up at the erection of the statue that they'd done for Dr. King was, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that," by Martin Luther King. That was so powerful to me, and it fits in line with what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. And tonight we're talking about we the people, because it is up to us. It is we the people that must have a voice. Because of when I stood there, Shirley, and I looked up at that statue of Dr. King, I was like, wow, a man of color has a statue here in our state's capital erected to him. And I looked around at all the people coming in and out and taking pictures, and one of the things that disturbed me the most was the fact that the young people, they were there with groups of tours and they were taking pictures, and when the leader was like, y'all take a picture, smile. You know how teenagers can get all sluggish and, oh, I don't want to do that. Oh, they had a long day. And the significance of our history meant nothing to them. They didn't grasp the significance of what it all meant and the struggle that had taken to get us to that place. So they were haphazardly standing there taking pictures, and I looked, and not one of the young people took the time to read all of the quotations of inspiration on the wall of Martin Luther King's Memorial Center. That disturbed me and became very grievous to me.
Yes, it was, you know, it was wonderful to see all the young people there. And that is so true that they did. And I did notice one little boy about 9 years old, his grandmother had him reading all of them. But with the number of young people that was there, and they did not really, some of them had no clue. They just felt they were just in a park looking at statues. Because I noticed by the way they were playing and walking on areas that they should not have been walking on. And some of the parents were allowing them to walk on, like, certain stones and even the name of the memorial. Children were playing on it, walking on it. One kid fell off. And there were so many quotes on the wall that it was a history within itself. And, Val, there was one that stood out for me, and it says, "We must come to see that the end we seek is a society at peace with itself, a society that can live with this consciousness." And I was like, wow, that is so deep, you know, because it is. That is what the end should be. A society that we seek is a society with peace with the self and a society that can live with its conscience.
It's when a society that you, can live with its conscience.
With its conscience.
Mm.
We live in society today that some have no conscience. Some of us can't even face it. We don't want to face our conscience. We want to ignore it. That means that to that, when reading that, says we all have to be accountable for our actions. Can we live with ourselves and the things and the decisions that we make and the actions that we take in our lives, for our lives, and against others' lives? It brings us back to everything that we do in life we have to face. Can we live with it? A society with peace that can live
Absolutely.
With this country.
Absolutely. And today is tax day, so I know folks are stressed out with their taxes. I haven't done mine yet. That's right. I said it on the public. I haven't did it. I sent it to my tax person about 3-4 weeks ago, but I guess the fact that I just threw everything at them is taking a little time to get through it. And I'm already late anyway because I do business taxes and filings and stuff. But, you know, the thing, the oppositions that we're facing today as a society, as a people, if we the people don't stand up and do something, if we the people don't take a stand and say what we will and will not go for, what we will and will not tolerate, then no change will be made. I applaud all the individuals that have stepped up to the forefront regarding the Trayvon Martin case and so many other slain young men, good young men that have the capabilities of being a success because of a dream that they also possess, have been cut down and their lives have been shortened because of our adversaries, those oppressors. I applaud you, but we the people, we must take a stand. We must do something about what's going on in our society today. And Captain Mark, I know you've been having some great comments regarding the last 2 weeks of conversation we've been having, and now that we're talking about the monument, the memorial, and the significance of us as a people. Do you have any comments or anything to add before Shirley continues?
Well, thank you, Valerie, for allowing me to speak on this valuable call. And thank you, Shirley, for your comments as well. You know, as I was listening to both of you, I have a take on what you were speaking about, the writings on the wall, the quotes of Dr. King, and I got a chance during that conversation to mention it to my daughter, who I just dropped off, and I asked her, what did she think about that? And she told me to ask you all, did you know anything about them being able to bring Tupac Secure back to life to perform with Snoop Doggy Dogg through the magic of 3D. I said, what? She said, Dad, why are you all hanging on to the past? Don't you understand that this is my future you're talking about now? And I quietly listened to her. I listened to her, but I got to take that the young people, they really aren't interested in the struggle that Dr. King went through to make us a freer people. They aren't really interested in the things of the past. They look at that as if it were way, way, way back in time, and they can't get a grip on that it wasn't so long ago that we were not able to use the same restrooms or eat in the same restaurants. We were not able to do so many, many things because of the color of our skin. So they don't have a grip on this because they were not born into that generation. She says that if we wanted to hear a message, we need to know how to deliver it to the young people through people like Snoop Doggy Dogg and Tupac. And I'm just going, oh, wow. Okay, baby, have a good day. Have a good day as I dropped her off, you know. But, you know, I just had to get a take on that. As far as the conversation that you mentioned about taxes, I just have to say this. I am so thrilled, so absolutely thrilled to pay my taxes. I cannot wait for tax day because I cannot control what happens with the taxes. I can no more than I can control OPEC and the price of oil, but I can focus my energies and my attention on those things that I can control. I can control my income. I can control the people who I put around me. I can control, well, I can't control those people. I mean, I can control who I put around me, that is. The point being is that the more taxes that I'm able to pay, it makes me more thrilled because I'm able to use those tax business documents to present to banks to get loan money, to build my business, to be able to. They're asking me as I go to places to borrow money.
You're losing some volume, Mark. I can't hardly hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. They're asking me for tax returns. They're asking me for bank statements. They're asking me for these legal documents. So you see, a few years ago, Tony Robbins, I got a chance to speak with him about my personal income and the relationships that I had with my attorney and my accountant. And he said, just imagine if you didn't have a good accountant and a good attorney. 5 years from now, where would you be, Mark? Because I was telling him how much I was disturbed about my relationship with my accountant. I told him I couldn't stand it when it came tax time. I couldn't stand going to my attorney to deal with incorporation documentation and so forth. That really just bothered me so bad. My point is this. I want to pay as much taxes as possible because that means I'm contributing to society. I'm contributing to the tax base. I'm employing other people, and I want to pay as much taxes as possible. That puts me in a different position because most of my life I played under the radar. I tried to pay the least amount of taxes. I tried to play the rules under the radar. Now I'm able to achieve a different level of income because I realized I can't fight it. I can't control them. So go ahead and tax me. You can do what you want with the money. I can't control that either. But I can control the amount of income that is coming in to my pocket. So that's where my focus is today.
Well, I applaud you, and I'm sure the governments and stuff applaud an individual like you that don't mind giving them more money than you need to at a time while people like Romney and them are paying less taxes while they're raking in all the dough and they're we're holding up the world system with our little meager dollars while they're walking away going on trips and stuff with theirs. We the people have got to stand up and say, no, it should be a level playing ground with all regarding paying taxes. Shirley?
Yeah, and Captain Mark, you know, I applaud you as well as being one of those people who don't mind paying taxes and want to pay your share and more if you could. Because there's so many people out here who don't want to pay taxes, and then particularly the ones I'm going to speak about is the ones that are making the 7, 8, 9 figures. Not the 6 figures, the 7, 8, and 9 figures. A lot of those people are paying at a less tax rate than the people that are paying that are making 6 figures or less. And this recent bill that President Obama had put out, the Buffett bill, they called it, it was knocked down by the GOP. And today is tax day, and we're looking at, I live in Michigan, let me give you an example. We had earned income credit here for the ones that were making, say, $50,000 or less per year. As a result of our new governor, who was a Republican, he decided that was too much money. And basically it was $500-$600 per person in a household of three or less. That changed. Now you get $50, maybe $90, but that is it. But if you have a business that makes about $1 million a year, you pay no business taxes in the state of Michigan. But if you're a small business, you're still taxed at about 18 to 22%. Now, does that make sense? No. A lot of people are, when it comes to tax day, they cringe. Because the way this country has been running with taxes, that the rich pay less, and the poor and middle income pays more, like Val just stated. This country is resting on the shoulders of those who make in a tune of less than $100,000 a year, as far as when it comes to the tax base. It is resting on the little person's shoulders. And then we have a future, we have a candidate who is running for president who even made the statement that he doesn't care about the poor. Everyone needs to take that seriously. When you're doing your tax bill, you have an accountant doing yours. Some have to go to places like H&R Block, Liberty Tax Places, and there's different tax services all around. And one of the things that I'm finding, I'm hearing that a lot of people are going to some of these shady tax places, and they're getting ripped off with them. They have a household full of children. The government, federal government, allows you to claim two dependents other than yourself, or if you're single. If you're married, you can take yourself, your spouse, and two children. If you have more than two children, there is nothing, nowhere in the form that you can claim those children. So you're finding that some of these other tax places that are doing your taxes find out you have three or more children. They are actually taking your child's Social Security number and selling it to someone else. It's been popping up in every city in the U.S., which in turn causes more corruption with the IRS. And if you look at the statistics, more middle class and poverty individuals are audited than the rich. And it makes you wonder sometimes why. I make less than six figures. What is it that I have that the government, the IRS, feel that I shouldn't have? Why am I in a higher tax bracket? It is very stressful this time of year for a lot of people. And that question of why cannot, you know, no one has seemed to come to the table to answer that question. Captain Mark, your statement about controlling the amount of money you have coming in, your income, that's something I would really like to know. How do you control that? Do you sell less goods? Or is there a system that you have to control? When you say control, is it the amount you have coming in? Can you cut it off? Or can you receive more? Can you elaborate on that for me, please?
Yes, I can, if I may. What I mean to say is that since I cannot control what they do with my tax dollars, because we really can't. Mm-hmm. They say that electing our officials is our control. But since I feel like I cannot control the money that is going into the tax base from my wallet, what I mean to say is that I can focus my energies on making more money. That's what I'm doing. I'm focusing my energies on what I can control. I can control how I market my business. I can control my time instead of worrying about IRS. I'm using that same time to try and find a better deal to find computer supplies that are at a less expensive price. I'm spending that time interviewing
technicians that can do the same job for me at a lower price, thereby increasing the amount of money that I'm able to make. Also, I look at it very, very clearly when I say that I know the answer to what you're looking for. When you say how you can't understand how they're taxing people in the middle class and they're bearing all the weight, here's the reasoning for it. Those people that own businesses that are making $1 million plus deserve to not have to pay as much taxes, because they are allowed to take that money and recirculate it into the system and build more jobs, build better businesses, employ more people. This is what I found that I was able to do after I reached a certain point. And they tell you after you make your first million, the second million becomes easier. The third is even a lot easier. I'm working at that now. And I'm starting to understand what I've been taught all of this time. It's easy to say it when you have the money and very difficult to understand it when you don't have it. But the fact is that if I have more money, if I'm able to keep more of my money and pay less taxes, the government is thanking me by not charging me as much taxes so that I can take that same money, recirculate it, build my business, employ more people. I love my accountant so much, I didn't only buy him a dinner, I bought him and his family a dinner, because I can write off 50% of it as a business expense. You see, the more money that I'm able to pay into the tax base puts me into a better tax bracket where overall I'm paying less. Yes, I'm paying less than what I was making was paying when I was a school teacher, for example, making a heck of a lot more money. But yeah, at the end of the day, when you add it all up, sure, I'm paying less and less. But you have to have some people that are able to hold this government up, and that's the middle class. The middle class is who pays for the police, the fire department, all these public service programs that the Democrats have made us better slaves of. Every time we turn around and complain about something, they make another program. They come up with things like Section 8 to allow us to live for free or very small rent. You know, and you can come to places like Lakeshore Drive, which is one of on the Gold Coast, which is one of the most expensive areas in Chicago, and even those apartments that are running $3,500, $4,000 per month, some of those high-rise buildings have Section 8 apartments in them because the owners get tax breaks if they allow a certain percentage of their apartments to go to Section 8 recipients. Every time we complain about something, especially us as a people, then they create another program which further enslaves us. I think that we need to focus on taking care of ourselves, spending money with ourselves, just like they did out in Oklahoma when they had Black Wall Street. When they had Black Wall Street, black people were forced to buy from each other because they were not allowed to go into the white areas to shop. What the white people didn't know was black people started recirculating those dollars in their own community over and over and over. All of a sudden, you had more schools, a lot of doctor's offices, dentist's office, all types of legal offices, more schools, all types of programs that were funded by the people who were living in that community. That's why they had to bomb Black Wall Street. It was the 12 years right after slavery until in 1877 that the construction. I'm so sorry, I'm going all into this, but my point being is that we have to realize that if you don't want to pay taxes, you have to be self-employed. You have to employ other people, and the more money that you make, it is true, the less taxes that you pay. That's why people with 7, 8, and 9-figure incomes, that's why
you have the people that are in that range that don't pay taxes because they're taking that money, putting it back into the system, rolling it over and over and over, supplying more jobs.
Well, the problem I have that I want to interject here is to respond to a couple of things you said. You talked about those people, the middle class, that have businesses and have jobs, but the ones that are being oppressed and are stuck are those that don't have businesses, that are, you know, working, you know, trying to make ends meet, working at McDonald's or Burger King's. And we need those people that are working at those restaurants and those hotels and stuff to serve us. Unfortunately, they're not making enough to make ends meet to supply for their families, and it causes them and throws them into a tax bracket where they can't ever get ahead. And you mentioned about those people on Section 8. Well, yes, there are people that are on Section 8 because they're not making enough, even though they're working sun up to sundown and they're having children in the communities. And, you know, I grew up in the South where, you know, the more babies you had, the merrier. But there were no restraints. There were not things taught to us as a people of guidelines and things that we needed to do in order to progress to the next level. So we have a nucleus of people that are in a warp where they're stuck, not because that, you know, they're not trying, but because society won't allow this, give them the okay to move forward because of their circumstances. Not everybody is able to pull themselves up, otherwise we'll all be middle class. So there's always somebody there on the bottom, but it's not a plain and a clear path where everybody's able to flow. So, you know, I know you were just talking about, you know, just saying for example, but, you know, I can say and I could choose to agree or disagree. And no, I do not agree that, okay, you know, people should be living on Section 8 and stuff, because all of that is supposed to be for a limited amount of time. Unfortunately, we have people that have made it a career of staying there, not trying to progress and move forward, not trying to make more money because they don't want to lose their residence. They don't want to lose paying $50 a month. So they will stay in on mediocre jobs just to keep that living environment. So, yes, there is a problem with that. But there are people that are really working hard, really struggling. They are single. They are grandparents that are now raising their grandchildren from their children that have died or been on drugs. And those are the people that I feel that it should be helped. But unfortunately, there's not the right and proper help to give them under those circumstances.
Valerie, if I may just shortly interject, I do know where you're coming from. I do understand. But I am a person that lived in the Chicago housing projects. I lived in the projects, and my wife and I, we were on government subsidy. We were on the food stamps, the whole nine yards. $50 a month was our total rent. My wife thought that I was totally insane when I told her we were moving out of that apartment. She said, "How dare you endanger this family? We have health. We have health benefits. Can you buy eyeglasses for two of our children? Needed glasses at the time. Can you even buy their glasses, let alone take care of their dental benefits? Can you take care of us into a more expensive apartment?" And I have to tell her, you came from a third, you are now a third generation welfare recipient. You know the rules better than the people that work behind the counter. So it's hard for you to understand, but this is one of the things that we have to do in order to get out of this. We have to pull ourselves out of this. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the biggest pills I ever had to swallow in my life to leave the Chicago housing project, our comfortable apartment, to go from $50 a month to $450 a month paying rent. And I'm talking about, it was not easy because I didn't have food stamps. I didn't have the medical benefits. And as soon as one of the kids got sick,
that's when my wife came down on me really hard, because I had walked away from all of those benefits. But
uh-huh.
if I hadn't walked away from them, I would have been still captured. I have an employee right now who is still captured. She begs me all the time. She says, I need to bring my daughter to work with me because I cannot afford to put her into daycare center, and I cannot have you reporting my income because it's going to start affecting my Section 8. And I have three children, she tells me. She says, I have to take care of my children. Now, I appreciate the money that I'm making from you, Mark, but if you can't pay me cash, I can no longer work for you full time. I can put in a few hours here and there. So I cut her hours down, or her hours are cut down, but that is her choice. What it has done, what the system has done with the tax base being what it is and providing all of these social programs, this is one thing that the Republicans and I do agree on, is that these programs have enslaved us, and we are so afraid to let it go. We're afraid to let go of our crazy check. All we have to do is go to the office and say we have a drug problem to the Social Security office, they'll give you a crazy check, a SSI check, and stamp you unfit for employment. They'll give you $700 to $800 a month. What happens, Valerie, is that we become enslaved by the program, by the system.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So it's hard. It's very hard. And I know the middle class is paying for everyone else. It's only the very rich and the very poor that get over from the system. But if you want to make it from being the very poor to making it to being the very rich, or at least in a middle or upper middle class, you have to get on the radar. And you have to quit trying to hustle and making money here and there and trying to hide the money. And you have to have a deposit record, a record of deposits in the bank. And the more that you put yourself in the way of paying taxes, the better off you are in the long run. That's how you get to that point of where you don't pay taxes.
But Captain Mark, I hear what you're saying, and I hear about the system and everything, and I hear your statements about the rich pay less tax because they employ more. We are in an economy, we're in a time now. There was a time when I believed that they employed more, but it is turning out that the rich are keeping a lot of the money in their pockets. They're not employing more people. That's why there's so many people that are looking for work, because with the number of rich people that we have and that have companies, they are not hiring. They are hiring very minimum, and they're keeping the larger amount of the money in their pockets. You may be one of the rare ones who do believe in putting back into society by hiring someone, but when you look at the statistics, if you took the people who are making the millions and millions of dollars, and if they took $1 million of their income that they made that year and hired more people, even at paying them $20,000-$25,000 a year per person, you know how many people they can hire and put to work. But there are a lot of jobs that are people that are on jobs now. They're doing 2 and 3 people jobs because the rich will not hire any more people to fill those positions that are gone. People are forced into retirement. People are laid off. They downsize. All of these things took effect over the last 5-6 years, at least 6 years. They start downsizing. But their money didn't go away. They still received bonuses. That was one of the things why they ended up in the bailout. Even when the bailout came along in the recession, but they still paid themselves bonuses. They did not lower their salary. They did not hire more people. They put a freeze on the hiring. So when I hear you say the rich are paying less taxes because they're hiring more people, I have to disagree with you on that. Because if they were doing that, we would not And I honestly believe this. We would not be in this situation that we're in now. Because regardless of what it may look like, if they're paying less taxes and they're still making money, they would continue to hire. If they laid off someone, they would bring them back. If someone retired, they would replace that person with another body. But instead, they continue to give themselves big bonuses, and they continue to give their salaries increase. When you look at their salaries, if you've been following their salaries, you will see every year it has increased. Every year they've made more money. But every year in the last 6 years, they've paid less taxes. But if you look at their company, they had 3,000 employees. Now those companies that had 3,000 employees probably only have 1,800 employees. Where are that other 1,200 employees at? Laid off, retired, terminated for downsizing. But that person that owns that company did not cut his salary, did not cut his bonus, and is still paying less taxes. So all those things I look at in a whole. Then I look at the part about the programs for the needy. You've got so many families out there, they don't want to be in these programs. They had good jobs. They were making six figures. They were making, some was making close to seven figures. But in a day, if you're working in corporate America, you could be working today and get a pink slip tomorrow. And they're not used to surviving without that six and seven figures. It is very difficult for them. That's why you saw the numbers rising in suicide, where the person was killing themselves and their entire family because they couldn't see them living without them and how they were going to live their next day because they had been so accustomed to living in a certain lifestyle. The adjustment that they had to go through, they could not handle it. There are several people that are on welfare in Section 8 homes now who are used to paying their own mortgage. We have all the foreclosures going on now. Those people lost their job during the downsizing and the recession. But the rich didn't lose theirs. They've lost no money. The money that they have, they're keeping. They're not reinvesting in their company. Very few are. Some use money from the government to reinvest in their company. And the money that they borrow from the government, the middle class and the poor are repaying that money back to the government through our taxes.
Okay. Well said, Shirley. I have a caller holding that wants to comment. 0037, are you there?
Yes, I am. Are you there?
Yes. Who's calling?
It's Dr. Murphy. How are you tonight?
Hi. Oh, how are you? Thank you for joining.
Oh, I just love what I am hearing. This is such a time as this. We need to be talking about this. And your message on let the people talk, let the people speak, let the people stand up. One of the things that, I mean, both sides of y'all's comments is so true. You know, one of the things that being a recipient, just as the pastor, I believe he is, was speaking, you know, I was on the system as well, you know, and now as senior and living in a senior living facility, one of the things I have noticed, even with the senior population and living here, many of the people who have just been, their minds have been programmed to, they bring in all these social services and things like that, and many of the people that live here were teachers and doctors and lawyers and these types of things who are pretty well off. But they bring these in, and they literally will take that system and try to use it, because they come to me all the time. I tell them I don't need any of it. But what they do, they want to make you, because they operate on, they get certain credits for letting you get hooked up with the system. So it weakens the people. And when I was on the system, as the doctor was saying, back then, you know, you did what you had to do. But one thing I was smart to do is I used the system for what my time of need was, just like the doctor
right.
said. And we have to pull
right.
ourselves up. We have to even, you know, get our children to understand, this is only for you to use based on your time of need. But people begin to prostitute it. They sell the food stamps. They're doing it now.
Yeah.
You know, I heard her say people are blowing out their brains when they lose these 6- and 7-figure jobs. You know, and this is so true. We have got to get the people in their mindsets to want more, to do more, and they will never do it if we keep accommodating them based on the fact that they're going to go and tell their children to tell, you know, to tell the doctor that they see the moon and the star in the room so they can get a crazy check. People are literally training the kids to be on welfare so they can sit back and kick back and drive these fine cars. You know, and a lot of these things are happening because of the system allowing. Now they're tightening up now, but at the same time, the gangsters and the welfare queens are learning how to go around the system so that it can now be tweaked so the people who really need it, when they are in a time of need, they can't get it. And this is, you know, we're talking about meeting a need when there's a time, and then when you have to go to the point, and I had to go there. I literally got very ill making good money and wound up having to go to a government hospital and went in there with the troop, and they told me I was a lie, and then I had to turn around. They asked me, where's the Cadillac? Where's the house? I said, I lost it all. I'm in here about to die, and they asked me these kinds of questions, telling me these things, and I don't have those. But what happens is that they will put you in a position to lie. So you can get some food in your house. And this is what has happened. You have to tell them, no, I don't have that credit card no more. Even if you got the card, you know you can't use it because you can't pay the bill. But, you know, they tell you, because you got a credit card, you will not get any food stamps.
Because you
and
can
these
charge.
Are people, not just single woman, but it's also people that are hungry with babies, and they have to wind up lying. They have lost their job, and they're telling them, well, you get this amount, but they know they have to have these other things. They can't even get the WIC or anything else for these babies without lying. So the system is just, you know, it's gotten to the point now, you tell the truth, but now the people have to swindle and do everything else, and so it's a vicious cycle that they have got in, and we have got to find ways to educate the people to tell them, look, you go in with the truth, and only the truth is going to set you free and open doors, because I've learned that if you teach them how to get in this system and tell the truth and only use the system for what you need, then God has to have your back and leave the rest of it alone. Don't go there and try to get more just because you can.
Okay. Let's see. Hold on a second. Thank you so much for that comment, Dr. Sandy Murphy. Hold on here. I have someone holding 5676. Are you there?
Good evening, Valerie. How are you?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to add another perspective to the welfare itis. Issues that we're speaking about. Truly, there are ills in every facet of our society. What is the answer? You know, did we get rid of all the politicians that have been there for years? I don't know what the answer really would be that would help us out of this dilemma. But, you know, welfare is a bigger issue for corporate America. When we hear about tax breaks, that's just a fancy word for welfare, corporate welfare. When we hear about loopholes, tax loopholes, these are just fancied up words for welfare. And then you look at the amounts of monies that we're sending overseas to countries that we have spending billions and billions of dollars without any true mechanism for monitoring what that money is being used for, and is it being used for its intended purposes? And anybody with any ounce of brains at all knows that there's corruption everywhere. And so I would say we really ought to look at the corporate welfare giveaways as well as the monies that we're sending overseas. I know there are some circumstances where it is indeed needed, but I would be truly in favor of some system that could truly and honestly, forthrightly monitor the use of that money. Is it going into, for instance, Saddam Hussein, I think, had billions of dollars that they can't even account for now that they found hidden in store places in his mansions or whatever. These monies that our countries have sent over, is it just bribe money for some favor that we need for air rights? But I think that we've got enough money that we're sending out and giving away to corporate America that could help get our country back on its feet. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your comment. Cheryl, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I like, was that Ken?
Yes.
The caller? Okay. I like his comment about corporate America and the welfare that they have and the tax rate. There is so much in this company, in this country, rather, that is hidden, all of these loopholes. And it's like there's a certain number of people or society. It's like a secret society. They know all the loopholes and everything. And as well as the ones that are on welfare, some of the ones that have been on welfare for generation after generation. And I agree with what Captain Mark said about some of them are so good at it that they know more about it than the person who's actually working in the position to approve their case. But then that hurts the one who need it for a certain period of time because they, you know, some people have never been on it. They didn't even know where to begin, how to get on it. But they finally had to, you know, put their pride down and receive the help that they need to survive to take care of their children and their family. There are men that are applying for welfare now that probably has never thought that they would ever be in that position. So I say again about the tax and the tax rate that the wealthy are receiving. It is still a country where we all, and when I spoke earlier, I talked about, can you live with this? This country will not be at peace until we all learn to live with our conscience. And if someone is making 8-9 figures and they're resting at ease with their conscience and seeing our country become more like a third world country, we will never be at peace. Peace will not be in this country until we all learn to come together.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for your comment. We're about done with another Hot Topics from the Soul, and what I would like to do is everyone that gave comment, I give you 60 seconds to give a comment to wrap up your thoughts. Captain Mark, are you there?
I am. I just thank you both so much, and all of the callers as well. This has been a very, very lively conversation. For Shirley to mention about the country being at peace is apropos. I think that unless we realize what's happened in the past, that every time we've had a bad economy, we broke out into another war, and that stimulates the economy, that you're right. You're right. We won't be at peace. We have to make sure that we give until it hurts, and then we have to give some more because we are all leaders. We set the pace.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that comment, Captain Mark. Going on to Dr. Murphy, final thoughts and comments regarding what you've just heard.
I totally agree with what they're saying. The only thing I know is we can see it every day. You know, the Bible even tells a man gonna kill if he can't eat. And so this is why we got so much murder today. People are just really having a hard time, and we've got to figure out a way. Like you said, something has to happen, and we've got to continue to try to come together so that peace can come. Like you said, how can they rest knowing that this country is dying and people are killing because they can't eat and all the rich is getting richer? We've got to come to some kind of understanding and peace.
Well, one of the things, and I want you to comment on this here, last week, well, the week before show, I found out that ex-offenders aren't able to get any public assistance and housing or food stamps or anything. So unless they learn to create businesses and be able to activate on some of those dreams they have, they're going to continue to be repeat offenders because of the fact that they see no other means of escaping, no other means of eating. So therefore, it creates a vicious cycle, and then they get connected with individuals that are in low-income brackets, and that's how they're able to eat, because they're going to that single mother with all those children and eating that way and on housing that way, and then the cycle begins in those situations such as that.
That's right. You know, my son just got out of prison about 2 years ago, and here in Texas, they just passed the law, I believe last year or year before, where now they're able to get food stamps. Thank God for that, because, I mean, it was a lot of robbing and killing and stealing. And that's one way to help them out. You know, they don't get more than $50, but it's something.
Wow.
Yeah, I was so glad when I heard that. I said, good, that the ex-offenders here, they can get food stamps now. Praise God. Because, I mean, there's a lot going on. These old people getting robbed and everything else, so they food stamps and cards and everything else because they're hungry.
Well, Captain Mark, did you hear that?
Of course, I heard that. I'm warning, $50. $50 a month, they're getting probably $50 worth of romaine noodles and potatoes and trying to survive off that. Oh, my God. But the fact is that there are only 14 states. There are only 14 states where ex-offenders have voting rights. And those 36 states are trying to come around now to give more voting rights, but they are also slowly coming around and giving benefits for welfare and housing and so forth, because they know they're going to see these folks again in jail, but they probably want to see them back there because it's a big business.
That's right.
You know, the whole thing is that the ex-offender is at a complete disadvantage because he has to be self-employed. He has to put himself into a position to employ others. If yours truly hadn't done it, I would be living off of my wife. I would have to live off of her because I would be just another statistics of a black man who could not do it on his own and would have to live off a woman and be called the housekeeper. Thank God I'm not.
Right. That's right.
Thank you so much for that comment, Captain Mark, Dr. Murphy. Okay, caller 5676, do you have any final comment?
No, Valerie, but I've appreciated it so tonight.
Oh, thank you so much for joining. You know, as always, I enjoy these conversations, these topics, because that's what Hot Topics from the Soul is. It allows individuals to have a platform and have the opportunity to say what's on their heart and their minds on, and it's safe ground. Hot Topics from the Soul is safe ground. And, you know, we may not always agree with, you know, comments or the way things are done, but it needs to be heard so that we can have options in our life. Shirley, any final thoughts or comments?
I just want to thank everyone for joining us tonight and the callers for their comments and everything. And that, you know, we all that are on the call tonight, that we all pray for peace, because God is the only way we're going to see ourselves through this. And God is going to be the one to bring peace to this earth. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. And, you know, I wanted to wrap up the show and give a quote with Dr. King. But, you know, we have got to be the change in the world that we want to be. And it begins with we the people. We the people are the ones that dream. We're the people that want to be successful. We don't all always want to be enslaved by what the government dictates to us. We want to be productive individuals in the earth. We must learn to teach our children to be dressed and act like prospects and not suspects. You know, don't embark on buying your children things that will allow them or endanger their lives by, you know, wearing these baggy pants and getting their ears pierced and multiple tattoos and golds in their mouths and stuff like that. We have got to teach and cultivate our children to be individuals of substance in New York. Well, Valerie, you're saying, well, if they got golds and they got earrings and tattoos, they won't make it. No, I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is it limits their options to work in corporate America and for individuals to take us serious as a people. When we go on and go on to jobs and stuff, they don't see one of us, they see all of us. And we, the people, have got to make the difference. We, the people, have got to make a change. This has been another Hot Topics from the Soul, and I want to leave with a quote that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. says. He said, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in the moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy." Please visit website www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. And if you know anyone that's going through a traumatic experience, such as domestic violence or suicide, or just needing some uplifting and motivation, visit fromthesoulofawoman.com. And the Fight for Your Dream tour continues. We will be in Chicago May 19th at the Clarion Hotel, and you can find that information at arisebyvnp.com, or you can call me at 954-724-0900. Much love. Have a powerful week. Tell someone the Hot Topics from the Soul will be back next week, 8 p.m. Good night.
Good night.